Now, in our Bible study today, we are continuing in the book of 1 Samuel. We are seeking to learn some lessons from what is recorded regarding this man of God called Samuel. Today, we're going to consider what we call the revelation given to Samuel by night. The night revelation to the lad Samuel. Before we consider some of the verses from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, let us bow briefly for a word of prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts before Thee, and as we turn again to the study of the sacred word, we do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt illumine every mind today. Cause that every heart will be able to understand the lesson and be strengthened and helped thereby. Exalt the name of the Lord Jesus through this ministry. We'll be careful to give Thee the glory in His precious name. Amen. Now, our study today, more or less, will center around the Word of God. As you shall see in a moment or two, we will deal, first of all, with what I call the absence of the Word and the awful tragedy when that happens. Then we shall say a little about the need for giving attention to the Word. And then there will also be a need for announcing the Word. And last of all, we must consider the authority of the Word. It seems to me that the whole of this chapter, in which God gives the revelation to Samuel that night, is a chapter that resolves itself and revolves around the Word of God. Let me read the opening verse. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, as we pause on that verse for a moment, here we are brought face to face with the awful dark background of this chapter in which God reveals Himself to a young lad. Now, Samuel was called of God, responded to the call, and became a great man of God, God's emergency man. Now, the record of the night revelation to the young lad Samuel has always appealed touchingly to readers of Holy Scripture. There are lessons in it of the deepest importance to all of us. You know, when the disciples asked the Lord, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You'll find that in Matthew chapter 18, first three verses. He said more than this. Following up the thought, he showed that the spirit of the young child is always delightful to God. And it has been well said that perhaps if we were more simple in our attitude, more unquestioning in our faith, and more ready to obey, we would learn the mind of God more rapidly than we do. Now, in this chapter that is before us, 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli, the old priest, presents a solemn contrast to the young lad, Samuel. Now, remember the background then to Samuel's call to service. Samuel was called as a young lad when his nation was lawless. Lawlessness was rampant in the nation. Every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. But remember again, the priesthood was marked by failure, as demonstrated in Eli and his sons. Now we should keep in mind that back in the Old Testament, in the days of Israel, that nation was supposed to be guided spiritually by the men who were reckoned the priests of Israel. Now, where there is failure with the people, as long as you have good leadership, the people can be corrected and brought back again to what is right and honest. But when you have failure with those who are supposed to be in the place of leadership, you can expect the nation to go wrong. It was the responsibility of the priest and the members of the priestly family to guide the nation, to give them spiritual instruction, to inform them regarding the will of God, and to instruct them concerning the Word of God. But where there was failure with the priesthood, you could expect failure with the nation. That's the reason we say this, that no matter what sphere you enter into, there is a need for good leadership. Whether it be with the nation, in the economic things, or if it be in a local church with spiritual things, or in the home where the family has got to be cared for, there is always a need for good leadership. Here in the days when God called young Samuel, the nation was marked by lawlessness, the priesthood was marked by failure, and the family circle, the domestic circle, was marked and marred by division. Even the very home into which Samuel was born, you will remember, was a divided home. So therefore, when you come to consider this young man, Samuel, and how he grew up to be a man of God, God's emergency man, remember this, he had a poor start in life. He grew up in a time when things were very, very difficult. So when you are tempted to complain about the conditions under which you have been born, when you're tempted to murmur and complain about the condition of things prevailing at the present time, keep in mind that these men who shone like bright stars in God's firmament were men who grew up in difficult times, yet they became great men of God. It's in times of difficulty that good men come to the forefront and show how they are adapted for good leadership. So therefore, young Samuel was called at a time, I repeat again, when the nation was marked by lawlessness, the priesthood supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the people, the priesthood was marred by failure, and the family was marred by division. And then add to that this statement we have in verse 1, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. Here we have a key to the reason why the nation was in such a bad state. It was because the word of God had been neglected. The word of the Lord was precious. Those who were held responsible for preaching the word of the Lord had failed. They had failed to speak out the truth of God. God's word was pushed to one side. There was no one, as it were, who had contact with God and able to speak God's word to the people. That's the reason every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. Now, may I suggest that what was true in the days when Samuel was called of God is just as equally true at the present time. the cause for much of the trouble in the world today, and the cause for much of the difficulty in our country today, is due to the fact that the word of the Lord has been neglected. The Bible today is being pushed aside as simply being a compilation of old wives' fables. People are not accepting the Bible today as being the word of the Lord. And as long as we keep pushing the Bible to one side and objecting to the things that are taught in the Bible and refusing to accept what's written in the Bible as being the word of God, you can expect our nation to go deeper and deeper into sin and deeper into difficulties, and iniquity will abound more and more. If we take the divine standards and throw them to one side, you can expect to rush into difficulties. However, when there was an absence of the Word of God, it was a time for an emergency man to be found. It was time for someone to come to the forefront. It was at this time then that God put his hand on a young man called Samuel. But I want to stress to all my listeners again today this fact, that Samuel was the child of a praying mother. So that whenever you have a man who is able to get into the place of leadership, a man who is able to help his nation, you can remember this, there was some mother behind that man. Wherever you have a man of God today, a real spiritual man who is a help to his local church or a help to the people of God with his ministry, you can rest assured more or less there was someone behind that man who was upholding him in prayer. Samuel then had a praying mother. Is it possible that in my listening audience today, I have mothers who are unknown, as it were, to the world? Your unknown quantities, so far as the things of the world are concerned, you have never pushed yourself into the public place. But yet, don't you realize, mothers, you could pray like Hannah. And if your prayer like Hannah reaches the throne of God, God may answer your prayer and cause that one of your children may rise to call you blessed and be used of God. May I ask you, what is your ambition for your children, if you have any? Do you want them to make their mark in business? Do you want them to have a great profession, for their name to go down in the academic world? Or do you want your child to be a man of God? Do you want that boy of yours to rise up and serve the Lord? Do you? Hannah wanted her boy to be a man of God. She prayed for him. She gave him back to the Lord, and he was accepted. Another thing we notice here in connection with the absence of the word was this. Verse 3 says, "And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Notice this very carefully. Why were they allowing the lamp of God to go out? It was their duty to see that that lamp was kept burning. And if you know anything at all about the teaching of the Word of God, you will know this, that a light or a lamp is indicative of testimony. And here that which should have been a testimony for God was being allowed to go out. Now isn't it strange today that many a local church that should be bearing a testimony for God in the area where it's planted, they're showing no light whatsoever. The lamp is not only going out, it seems the lamp has gone out. The testimony is gone. People are paying no more respects to them today. But now, under such conditions, here is what we read down through this chapter. Verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel. Again, in verse 6, that statement is repeated, and the Lord called yet again to Samuel. Again, in verse 8, the same statement, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Now, it's when he was called the third time, and he ran to old Eli. Can you imagine Eli, who was supposed to be the spiritual leader? And three times he had to go to him before he could tell the young lad that it was the Lord that was calling him. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the lad. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Now I want you to connect that with what I read in verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." It seems there wasn't a man with whom the Lord could communicate in order to have his message declared to the people. Therefore, he's got to speak to this young lad. It has been well said that God spoke first of all to him, then he spoke through him, and God spoke to and through the man who had the willing ear. "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." He was willing to give his ear to what the Lord had to say. Now, it's a very remarkable thing that when you come to the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when speaking his parables one day, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Now, you see, the ear is the channel for hearing. God has given us ears in order that we may hear. So therefore, if we have ears, then it's possible to hear. But then there is the responsibility to incline the ear in order to listen to what is said. He is a young lad then who has an ear, prepared to open his ear, to incline his ear, ready to listen to what the Lord has to say. When you come to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you'll find that in chapters 2 and 3, there are 7 messages to 7 different churches. And to each one of them, this statement is made: "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And also, it is said to the church of Laodicea, the 7th one, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me." So therefore, these things added together bring us to this point: we ought to give attention to the word. For verse 11 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Now then, he's speaking to Samuel. And what Samuel heard when he inclined his ear to the Lord was a very distressing message. Remember, he was a young lad. At verse 15, we read this: "And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." In plain words, young Samuel was so upset with what he heard, he was afraid to speak the message to the old priest Eli. But at verse 16, it says, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I." Now I want you to notice the words of verse 17. He said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? Now, at the side of that verse in my Bible, I wrote these words, a good question. I want that to come home to all our hearts today. Let us direct this question to our own hearts. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Now, I ask each listener today, how does the Lord speak to you? I'll answer that very simply. The only way the Lord will speak to you is through His Word. Hence the reason. Either you've got to read the Word for yourself, or you'll have to listen to someone else reading it to you. You'll have to give your ear to the Word of God. That's where God speaks to us, through His Word. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Now the word that the Lord speaks must be announced. And here is what old Eli said to the young lad Samuel. I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. So the word has got to be announced, and Samuel announced it. Verse 18 says, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, that's old Eli now responds and said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Now here is the message we must take from these verses. First of all, Samuel gave attention to the word. Then Samuel had to announce the word, and the tidings he had to announce were not at all pleasant. It was a message concerning coming judgment. The hand of God was going to come upon Eli and upon his family because of their wickedness. So therefore Samuel has to tell the truth that God is going to move. But now, when we come to verse 19, following this incident, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, after Samuel announced the word, we're directed here to a little section that emphasizes the authority of the word of God. From that day onward, the young lad who lent his ear to the Lord and listened to the Lord when other men had refused to listen, Samuel inclined his ear, listened to what the Lord had to say, then faithfully announced his message to Eli, and God put his hand upon Samuel, and as Samuel grew, the Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. He didn't allow any of his words to fall to the ground. What Samuel said definitely came to pass, and it was established that he was a prophet of the Lord. He stood by the word of God, and the word of God had authority not only with Samuel, but it had authority with those that listened to him. My friend, we must today remember the word of God carries that same authority. When God says it, you can rest assured it will come to pass. Not one word of God's word will ever be destroyed. It is established in heaven, and God is working all things according to the counsel of His own will.